My daughter Riley went through a very special little rite of passage the other day. She and a friend of hers went to the mall together and had their ears pierced for the first time. And this is a very big deal for a little girl. So when I got home from work that day, the very first thing that Riley wanted to show me were her pierced ears and her brand new grown-up earrings. And then I had her tell me the whole story about getting her ears pierced. I asked her if she was scared and asked her if it hurt, asked her if she cried. And she told me the whole story. And she told me all about all of the earrings that she wants to get. And it's one of those precious moments that I want to store up forever in my heart as a father. But at one point in our conversation, with all of the innocence of a little girl of 7 years old, she said to me, "Now I'm beautiful." As she pulled her hair back one more time so that I could see those little pierced ears. But at that point, I paused and I looked her in the eyes with all of the love and sincerity that I could generate in the moment. And I said to her, "You were already beautiful before your ears were pierced." Now, I know Riley didn't understand or intend all of the implications attached to what she said. She's just a little girl who's very excited right now about her pierced ears and her new earrings. But when I heard her say, "Now I'm beautiful," I was reminded again of that huge influence that our culture has on our perception of worth. See, as a father, one of the things that I constantly work to instill into my two daughters is that they are valuable and beautiful apart from anything this world has to say to them or about them. That their beauty is not measured by physical appearance, but by their character. And that being a woman does not limit them from being and doing whatever it is that they believe God is calling them to do. I pray that my children are confident in the Lord, and they know who they are and whose they are. You may have seen the Dove Evolution commercial, which was a very hot item in the news a few months back, and it was on all of the websites like YouTube. If someone could flip the lights off at the back so that you guys can see this in case you have never seen this commercial before. This is the same woman. The commercial shows this woman's natural appearance transformed into this other woman, first through lighting and makeup, and then digital retouching with software, where her skin tone is enhanced, her neck is literally lengthened and narrowed and thinned, her hair is made fuller, her eyes are evened and enlarged, and the color brightened and enhanced, and her cheeks and chin are narrowed. And if you compare the two photos, you can see those things in there. They use sped-up photography in the commercial to capture this process and condense it into a 15-second video. And the effect is quite startling and disturbing when you see it. The commercial ends with the phrase, "No wonder our perception of beauty is distorted." The woman that is held up as the standard for beauty doesn't even exist. Did you hear that? I want to make sure everyone heard what I just said, that the woman who is being presented as the standard for beauty does not exist. It's fiction. Do you remember the controversy in the news a while back about the press kit photo of Katie Couric, which had been modified to make her thinner? And I mean, it was a big deal. You know, oh, how can she do that? How can she do that? Everybody does that. She just happened to have her stuff brought out into the public forum for a while. Now, I am not on a campaign against the cosmetic industry or anything like that. I got no axe to grind about any of that stuff. But I do believe that it is very important, you guys, that we get our sense of worth from someplace else other than advertisers and the standards used by the world for determining what is beautiful and what is worthy. There have been a number of scandals in recent years associated with these high-profile beauty contests, like the Miss America pageant. For example, I'm sure some of you can remember the reports that come out in the news, that some of these women have done photo shoots with Playboy and Penthouse and magazines like that, and others who have been photographed at wild parties doing unbecoming things and all of this. Now, I don't wish that kind of controversy and embarrassment on anyone, but one of the positive things that have come out of those revelations is the reminder of how important character is over physical beauty. Physical beauty is something that we can have for only a short time. For only so long. We all get older and gravity and the environment begin to have their way with us. But character is something that can continue to grow more beautiful throughout your life. Some of the most beautiful people I know are people who have lived many years walking with God, and the wisdom and the grace and the beauty in their life is quite amazing. Go ahead and turn the lights on, Larry, now. Last week, we began a study in the book of Esther, and I want to continue that study this morning. You can start making your way to Esther chapter 2. We're going to read about a beauty contest today. But as we get into the story, we're going to see that the stakes for this beauty contest are considerably higher than a shiny crown and a walk down the runway with Burt Park singing, "Here she comes, Miss America." We're going to see how character ultimately wins out over physical beauty. Just a quick review first of what has taken place up to this point in our story. Our story takes place in the Persian Empire in the capital city and citadel of Susa around 480 BC, where Xerxes is king. The story began with the king throwing this huge party for his officials and nobles, at which he requested his wife to come before them, and his wife, the queen, refused. He got very angry, so following the suggestion of his royal advisors, he had her banished forever from his presence and stripped her of her royal position as queen. Later, after he cooled down, he began to miss the queen. So his royal advisors proposed that a search be made for the most beautiful virgins in the kingdom. Well, the king could then choose among them who would be his new queen. Well, as you might imagine, the king liked this idea. So all of the most beautiful young women throughout the kingdom were gathered and brought to the city of Susa and placed in the royal harem under the care of the king's eunuch, Hegai. One of the young women who had been taken and put into the royal harem was Esther. She was a beautiful young Jewish girl who had lost her parents when she was very young. Her older cousin Mordecai had adopted her as his own daughter and raised her since she was little. Esther won the favor of Hegai, the man in charge of the royal harem, almost immediately. He gave her the very best place in the harem, provided her with the best beauty treatments and food, and assigned her 7 of the king's best maids to care for her. The hand of God was clearly upon Esther. She's going to play a very important role in saving God's people from destruction in the future. All of the things that are happening to Esther right now are part of the plan of God that's being put into place to accomplish his work in the future. Now, she and her cousin Mordecai, they know nothing about the plan of God. God has not told them anything about what he has planned for the future. All they know is that they love God, they want to serve God, they trust him, and they're seeking to obey him. The Lord does the same thing in our life, you know. He has a plan for every single one of us, but he doesn't always tell us the plan beforehand, does he? He gives us guidance for our immediate situation, and then he asks us to trust him with the rest. If he were to tell us his ultimate intentions and plans, most of us would probably just chicken out and never go through it. We need to put our faith in his wisdom and his sovereignty. He has good plans for you. We must not let our fears prevent us from stepping into the plans that he has for us. We close with the scripture from Jeremiah 29:11 last week that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Esther chapter 2, verse 12, I want to begin reading there. It says, "Before a girl's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women. 6 months with oil of myrrh and six with perfumes and cosmetics. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go there, and in the morning, return to another part of the harem to the care of Shazgaz, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name. I want us to note first how the author refers to these young women as girls, because that's really what they are. Most of them are very young, in their early teens. Before a girl appeared before the king, she had to complete a year of special beauty treatments, 12 months prescribed for them. Now talk about getting ready for a date. You spend a year getting ready for your one moment. And when a girl's turn came to go to the king, she was given anything she wanted to take with her. Jewelry, clothing, perfumes, love potions, gifts for the king, whatever. See, each of the girls were given the opportunity to take her best shot at capturing the king's attention and his love. Well, in the evening, she would be escorted to the king's palace to spend the night with him, and the next morning she would then be escorted to another part of the harem where the concubine stayed. A concubine was like a second-class wife. She was one that the king might have physical relations with, but she was not granted the rights and privileges of a real wife. Now, in this particular case that we have before us, the girl would most likely never be brought back to the king again. She was just one of thousands of young maidens at the king's disposal. It was literally a one-night stand. Those rejected, which meant virtually all of them, except for the one that he might choose, lived the rest of their lives like widows. They were forever the property of the king, though never allowed in his presence again, and never allowed to go out and pursue any other kind of life. They were sentenced to living the rest of their lives in a prison of sorts. Can you imagine the pressure that these young girls are under? If you didn't capture the king's eye, you were history. Your life was over. You were discarded and cast off like a piece of garbage. This one meeting that a girl would have with the king meant either life or and luxury and prestige beyond your imagination, or it meant that you spent the rest of your lifetime in loneliness and virtual slavery. The stakes in this beauty contest were extremely high. Your very life is at stake. So in verse 15 it says, When the turn came for Esther, the girl Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested, and Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal residence in the 10th month, in the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. So it's now Esther's turn to appear before the king. And the thing I want us to see is Esther's character. She had the opportunity to take anything she wanted with her when she went in to see the king. But she doesn't request any of the usual jewelry and ornaments and perfumes and cosmetics and love potions and lavish gifts for the king that the girls typically ask for. Instead, she takes only what Haggai, the king's eunuch, suggests. We see a simplicity here, a modesty here, a humility here, a trust and a godliness in Esther that in the end will bring her great reward. 1 Peter 3:3 says, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful." Now, Peter actually mentions Abraham's wife, Sarah, as his example as he writes his letter. But there is no doubt he had Esther in mind as well, because there is not a more powerful example of someone living this scripture out in their life than young Esther. It says in verse 15 that Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. In other words, she won the respect and the admiration of everyone else in the harem. It was not her physical beauty that captured the other people's admiration and respect. It was the beauty of her inner self. It was her character. All of the girls in the harem are beautiful. Remember, these are all of the most beautiful young women in the entire Persian Empire. But Esther stands out head and shoulders above all of the rest of them because of one thing, because of her inner beauty, not her physical beauty. They're all beautiful. I want to encourage all of us, both men and women, to concentrate our efforts on our inner beauty rather than our physical beauty. Men and women can both be consumed with building the physical. We just do it in different ways. 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul wrote, "Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." 1 Thessalonians 4:11, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anyone." This is exactly what Esther has done. It's her daily life that has won the respect of those who observe her. Verse 17, the story continues. It says, "Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And the king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the province and distributed gifts with royal liberality." Good girls do win. Good girls do win. None of the other girls had attracted the king's attention. But after seeing Esther, the king had no desire to continue his search for a queen. He immediately makes Esther his wife and queen. He loves her and he places the royal crown on her head. Not only that, but he gave a great banquet in her honor, it says, and he proclaimed a national holiday, Esther Day. The word translated attracted in the NIV here when it says, "Now the king was attracted to Esther," is actually translated love in all of the other English translations. And I think it's unfortunate really that the NIV chose to use the word attracted rather than love here, because the king did indeed love her. Why was the king attracted? Why was he drawn? Why did he love Esther over all of these other girls? Two reasons. First and foremost, because the Lord's hand is upon her. The Lord is working it out to accomplish his purposes for his people. See, it's not all of the machinery that makes things happen. It is the God at work in and through us that makes things happen. The other girls who had appeared before the king had brought all kinds of stuff with them. Clothes, jewelry, love potions, cosmetics, gifts. But none of it accomplished what only God could do. In fact, the absence of all of these things when Esther comes before the king just highlights God's work. The second reason the king was attracted to Esther was her inner beauty, her character, which came from the Lord. She's a woman of depth. A woman of character. There's nothing shallow about Esther. The warmth of God that pours out of her life was something that the king wanted to be near. The warmth of God that pours out of your life is something that attracts people to you. People are hungry for those with substance, spiritual warmth of character. Really, this second reason is an expression of the first, isn't it? People can sense when God's hand is upon a person, and they want to be near that. I want to share two things in closing this morning. First, I want to bring our focus back to the personal struggle Esther had while in the harem, getting ready to appear before the king. She had exercised incredible faith through this situation, and I don't want us to miss that point. Esther found herself thrust into a game of life and death. If she was chosen by the king, she would become queen and live a life of indescribable luxury. If she's not chosen, though, she will live the rest of her life in loneliness, neglect, and unfulfilled desire. From a purely physical perspective, Esther had nothing over these other girls that would cause the king to choose her over them. She had a beautiful physical appearance, but so did all of these other girls. Her physical beauty did not make her unique. Her physical beauty did not make her unique. It does not make you and me unique either. The girls that had gone before her to the king had tried all kinds of things to enhance their natural beauty, and none of it was successful. Esther may have thought to herself, what can I do? What can I bring before the king to win his affection? And I'm sure she was tempted to do what she saw all of the other girls doing. But she didn't. Instead, she did something different, completely different and unique. She trusted and obeyed the Lord, both through Mordecai and Haggai, who were speaking God's wisdom and truth to her in these moments. We're constantly faced with the insurmountable things in our lives, everything from needing a job and a place to live to that one sin that is constantly tripping us up to those nasty parts of our character that are continually hampering us from becoming the people that we want to be. By placing our trust in God, by obeying Him, by following Him, we can see Him bring real change in our life. It's not the thrashing about that makes things happen. It is the Lord. And I want to encourage all of us to walk in the purpose that God has for our life. Allow it to fill us with joy and then watch God do His work in us. The second thing that I want to say in closing today is this. The final thought I want to leave us with is this. Is to remind us of how Esther is a person who chose character. Can someone close that door, please? She is a person who chose character over physical beauty. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It says, this is the thing that set Esther apart from all of the other young women in the harem. This is the thing that made her unique. This is the key to who she was. She fears the Lord. She loves the Lord. She seeks to worship and serve the Lord with her life. That set Esther apart. Charm and beauty are not substitutes for the true inner beauty of character. We read 1 Peter 3 before, and I want to read it again. Verse 1, it says, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceptive or deceitful. It can be, and it is often used. It does not have sincerity and integrity attached to it. But charm is something that a woman often relies on and uses to get what she wants. A woman skilled in charm can lead a man to do almost anything. And we all know that's true, men and women both. But the Lord doesn't want a woman to use her charm to deceive and manipulate people. He wants her to be a person of integrity, of honesty, of sincerity, of truth. Beauty is fleeting, it says, or it's vain, or it's empty. Beauty doesn't last. It doesn't give a good return on its investment over the long term. It cheats us, ultimately. Beauty is a huge business. Cosmetics, skin treatments, body treatments, plastic surgery, clothes, perfumes. It's one of the biggest business sectors in the world. And what does the Lord say about it all? Beauty is fleeting. Beauty is vanity. Beauty is empty. It doesn't mean that beauty is something that we should not pursue in any way. We all want to look nice. We all appreciate when other people are looking nice. But it's saying that it should not be the focus of our life. Some would like to accuse men and hold them responsible for women's intense focus on beauty, but that's a misrepresentation of the facts, if we're honest. We men definitely have our eyes on the physical appearance of women. There's no question about that. But I see women size each other up as much or more on physical appearance than men ever do with women. I still can remember the time I was sitting in a sandwich shop a while back, waiting for my order, and I watched one young woman walk up to the counter where another young woman was standing, and I'm not kidding. This is exactly the way she looks. She walks up. She goes,
"Ew."
Took a full inventory, top to bottom. Her hair, her clothes, her shoes, satisfied that she was better, turned away. The only thing that's different is she did not disguise what we all do. If a man sized woman up like that, we'd get slapped. Who watches these TV shows? Like What Not to Wear and Extreme Body Makeover and Swan and, you know, these different shows like this. It's not the guys. The man version of What Not to Wear would be one episode, if you know what I mean. What should be the focus of our life? It says here in Proverbs 31:30, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Men, for our part with the women in our lives, we should do what it says here. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Praise the women in your life who fear the Lord. Let them know that what you value most about them, above everything else, is that they fear the Lord. We all want to be people of substance. We all want to choose character over physical beauty. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word, Lord, that builds character in us. Things that last. Things that carry into eternity, Lord. Help us be people of substance, people of character, people of depth. Help us be deep, deep people and have the mind and the heart of the Lord. Help us find our sense of worth and value in you and not in the empty things around us, Lord. Bless your people. In Christ's name, amen.